Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, let the
title
of this thing. Don't title again.
And I did only be a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Check, check. Good evening. Or it's an evening for me. I don't know what time it is for you, but it's a beautiful day. The sun is still up. It's not quite 6 on Tuesday, May 21st. I've got the barbecue going. I better keep an eye on that. I've got it turned down real low. I'm playing tag or hide-and-go-seek with Torachan, the stray cat. When I go in the house to get something, he comes right up to the open door, and as soon as I come out, he runs to the stairs and sits there and watches me. Now he's at the foot of the stairs. He's being patient. It's not his supper time yet. I'm trying to feed him closer to 7 so that it's not such a long stretch until morning when he gets his breakfast. Productive day in a strange way. This follows the podcast I just put out Monday on Victoria Day. I didn't even mention it was Victoria Day, except it was a Victoria Day Speedfest weekend at Mossport. That was a longer one. That was 90 minutes or so. And I think, I haven't listened back yet, so I can't say for sure, but I think there was some truth in there. And something quite, to me, interesting happened during the course of it. But I'll leave that for you to judge, and if you see something, great, and if you don't, that's fine. It might be just my imagination. But, today, I came home and I was just determined to try and do good things for my wife, or things that need to do, or just be a decent husband, up the game just a little bit, you know. So I made a list. Oh, I got to get her a car charger. So that incident about her iPhone running out of power and she needing it to navigate home, that's not going to happen again. So I actually did some shopping around and didn't see what I wanted in the few places I checked out, but that's still on the list for tomorrow. And then while I was away, she said, uh-oh, the lawnmower died. You know, I think I'm going to come back. I got to check on my meat, so I'm going to come back to that. We'll be right back. Yeah, I was going to tell you about the lawnmower. She does the lawn. My back is just, it won't take it. I mean, I could take a pain pill and get half of it done, and it'd just be in agony and have to come and sit down for a while. And she's just determined. She's fast. She just does things quickly on her pace. So anyway, she got partway through, and she said it, you know, it stopped. It made a funny noise. And I thought, oh, okay. And then she said, we need a new one. I'll buy it. And right away, of course, that gets my back up. So no, I'll do the buying. At least I can buy the bloody lawnmower, even if I'm not going to use it. But she said, it's got to be cordless. I don't want a cord again. And I'm for electric. I just don't want to go gas. I'm just against it. Younger son chimes in, Dad, what's the matter with gas? Good, look at this thing. This is great. You know, convincing me that don't be so set in my ways. And I'm just in my mind, no gas, you've got to fill it up. You've got to sometimes tweak it. Maybe you got to add oil. Maybe I'm thinking about gas more as 50 years ago. That's what my son accused me of. But still, it just seems some trouble and not necessary and just bloody noisy. And that's the main reason. It's just, you know, environmentally unfriendly. And we don't have that big a lawn. So anyway, so the compromise was, all right, cordless. So anyway. But she said, but you can check the other one anyway. So I get my lawnmower out, the one that is broken. We've had for many, many, many years. I don't know since we got the house or not. I turn it on. It starts, but boy, it's shaking and rumbling and vibrating. And ooh, that doesn't sound good. So I figure something's come loose. And tell my son, look, I'm going to need your help getting this bolt off here, and then we'll just see what we can do. So we get it apart. There's maybe 6 pieces, you know, involved in getting the blade off. I haven't even looked at the motor. It's just the bleed we're dealing with. And he gets a file, and he thinks, well, maybe I can start. But the bleed, you can tell it's hit a few rocks. And so we have that discussion. I'm saying, oh, I'll find a guy who sharpens skates. They could do this bleed. And he's looking at it, so I don't think so. But anyway, the idea is, all right, well, let's see if we can just put it back together. And I carefully, you know, there wasn't a whole lot, but pieces had to go in the right order. And we put it back. And he said, okay, now just really gently try it. And of course, it's shaking and vibrating and not doing good. So I get in my mind, no, I'm just going to put it together. I think this is the right way. I do not read a piece. I see a piece of plastic that's, you know, some kind of synthetic material that later I read, if damaged, replace immediately. You know, don't use. But I only read that after the fact. I put things on. The bolt doesn't seem to be threading properly. He accuses me of maybe cross-threading or doing something. I said, well, look, I got to try something. And he's saying, no, Dad, no. And there were several no's. Well, Dad turns it over so it's like on the driveway, facing down the way it should be, as if you were mowing the lawn. And I turn it on full. And in just a second or so, that bleed comes flying off the mower and is only stopped by the leg of a chair I was sitting on. And my son is very angry. You idiot. Like, why did you rev it up full? The bolt wasn't on secure. That would have mangled my leg. If it wasn't for the chair, that bleed would have gone straight into your road track, either your front tire, which is the direction it was heading in. And he properly scolded me. And I felt sheepish. He said, Dad, you are no good at fixing things, which is true. What I did was extremely stupid. And the thing is, up to that point, I was feeling really good. I said, hey, I'm just like my friends who can fix things. I'm going to do this just like them. All I need to do is tighten this bolt, and we're good to go. That's all it needs. I just need to tighten the bolt, and then I can tell my friends on this very podcast, the one I'm talking to now, I could tell my friends, guess what? I saved a ton of money by fixing our lawnmower. All it was is a loose bolt. Well, my son took the blade and said, you're not getting that back. I'm laughing now, but it could have seriously done him. Now, I told my son, I believe in guardian angels. He had his own interpretation. He's a Capricorn, I'm a Taurus, and he said that's why we clash often. But while we're there, you know, before my little failed experiment, we've got the lawnmower in pieces. The mailman comes up with the mail, and sure enough, right after the near disaster, my son finds the front page of the mail, junk mail that we got from Canadian Tire, showing all the different kinds of lawnmowers on sale. And he said, that's a sign, Dad. That's a sign. Get a new one. And I did. I purchased a new lawnmower. This is in keeping with me trying to be a better husband. Given that my wife, is doing the lawn, we're not going to mess around. I'm not going to look for one used on Craigslist. I could have. I had what I thought was $400 in Canadian Tire cards left over from last year. And I thought, good, I could spend up to then. Here's one, $50 off on sale, $369. Turns out I had less than that. Some of the cards had already been used, but still. I went in, did a search, looked at all the ones I had, and found what I thought was a very decent lawnmower. And bought it. Like, normally, you know, me taking care of things would take a long time. Well, I got to check it out. I got to do this, got to do that. I'll do it. Don't worry. I'll do it. Well, she was pretty happy when I was able to text her at work, saying, no, I've already got it. It was more than I, you know, she'd said, well, I don't want to spend more than $200. I spent double that. But these are cards I figured were gift cards. And you know, they were gift cards, except they were meant for other people, not me. But that's that aside. I felt it was a painless way to solve a problem and solve a problem. And it had a 4-year warranty. It was better than the others. There were other cheapies that I could have done. And that wasn't the route to go. So I got it home. My son and I put it together. It's ready. I'm charging the battery now. It is a good battery. And it's by the company. Not that you need to know, but Greenworks. Greenworks Pro. The reviews were excellent. And so that's all the wrong. I guess the point of that story is how stupid I can be, like, to actually put on a bleed unsecurely just to test it and have that bleed really go flying off. And then, as I was telling my son about my guardian angels, realizing, oh, my God, I could have hurt my wife, too. Oh, she just got home. Hello. Chick. Yeah, timing. I was just about to hit the record button and my dear wife called. If you had heard that call, you would have understood when I mentioned sometimes communication is confusing. I had said I had a meeting tonight. I thought I had. I arrived at the place. There's nobody here. I look again. I realize it's tomorrow night. And my first thought is, oh, my God, dude. Like, that's... Is this another sign? Like, you know, your mental deterioration? And part of me says, hey, it's no big deal. You know, I got the place right. I have it right on my calendar. I just thought it was Thursday instead of Wednesday. Today is Wednesday. The meeting is tomorrow, Thursday. So, anyway, no big deal. But my wife called. She thought I was going out. She was going to go get some milk. I said, if it's only milk, let me get it. And, well, maybe we need bananas. Okay, I can get milk and bananas. Well, and I'm trying to be nice to her and said, look, I just want you to go home. You've worked all day. If it's just milk and bananas, I can do that. You know, if we're getting into special types of rice and vegetables that I can't even identify, then, okay, hey. Yeah, you better do that one. But, and she's back and forth about, well, okay, well, you go home and cook, and I'll go do the shopping. And I'm saying, no. Anyway, it's all resolved. I told her, go home. It's cold. It's starting to rain now. Get in your pajamas. Relax. I'll cook the pasta. Why am I talking now? I have a confession to make. I don't know. I know Doug, who we don't hear from on the damn podcast. He'll come up with an idea and say, hey, let's do this, and then we'll do it in May. And I'm, what the fuck, May? I don't keep track of when, you know, if I just turn this sucker on and talk. But when I listened to Jason Reese, he picked up a theme on truth and consequences, and maybe that was the topic. I didn't go back to look because it's too fucking far away. And there have been no reminders. Nobody's talking on this little thing people were talking on before. So I'll tell a truth. I got a Walmart card today, or I applied for one. I have always prided myself on refusing to shop at Walmart. My wife sometimes does. And then I realized there's a couple of things that I needed that Walmart would have, one-stop shopping, and they would have it, and it would be cheap. Things for the road trek, or things for the car. Oh, fuck. So I broke down a couple of times, and then today I realized, because of this disaster with my wife and the phone not being charged, I'll buy a charger, and I did check things out yesterday. But I went into Walmart and they have one, you know, half price, $10. Piece of crap, but it works. I'm using it now here in my car to test it out. So I knew after checking other places at double the price or more, triple. God damn, how can you not resist that? So I got that and then I found, oh, they got propane tanks, you know, for the portable propane tanks. for the barbecue. I'm going to need those this summer for Sal. You know, 2 for $11. Oh, my God, that was cheaper than Canadian Tire. At 3 for $20. And then there's a tool. Oh, here's a multi-tool for camping. In the camping section, it's $13. Oh, my God. That's cheap, and it's pliers and stuff. That one little tool with a little pocket pouch for it. Of course I'm going to get that for Sal, just to have handy. Damn it. So next thing you know, and then, you know, I'm going to get another cable here. They're only, say, $8. You know, they're normally 16. So by the time I get to the cash, she says, do you want to apply for Walmart card? And, oh, no, not me, thanks. She says, well, it's $10 off right now. And I'm like, holy fuck. That means the charger or whatever, or I could see, because it seems better this way. I got this tool, the pliers and everything, and a whole bunch of tools in the can opener for only $3. Because $10 off, plus another $25 off if you actually use the card. Holy shit. You know, how could you not do that? So I've given in. I've caved in to the big monster, the machine, the Walmart, the thing I hate. If I'm in a small town and there's a main street, I will try and go local, but I'm never in that situation anyway. This is the reason my beef with Walmart was they put main streets, small town Ontario, wipe them out, put them out of business. You can't afford to have a pharmacy and a hardware store anymore. You can't compete with Walmart. So I feel a little bit dirty having done that, but that's the way it is. Anyway, that's all I want to talk about. I'm in this, still in this parking lot from the meeting, and, you know, I shouldn't worry too much. I did my physio again today, and oh my God, like the guy has to hold on to me by the belt. It's very simple. All right, step up on this thing, step down. Step up, step down. I'm just all over the place. Like, he's actually got to hold me. This is fucked. Like, this is, you know, this is why, I mean, one thing, the mental deterioration, but physically, holy Christ. And this is not something that goes away. Like, this could be the beginning of the fucking end. But, here's the but. I'm in such a positive headspace about life and about things and about how blessed my life has been, how I've got everything I could possibly want, that I'm going to live with this. That's fine. Okay. Throw it at me. You know, that's unfortunate. Too bad. Lots of things could be worse, and this may get worse. Okay. So, meanwhile, get by every day. Enjoy it. Make the most of it. Celebrate that night in just listening to Neil Young in the dark after Toke. My God, that was just like the old days from 30, 40 years ago. That was just wonderful. So, all right, damn, I've wrapped it up to 6 minutes. Scarborough Dude signing out from the Maplewood School, the place I'm not supposed to be until tomorrow night. I gotta go get bananas and milk. Bye for now. Of the rain on the roof. I'm in the Toyota. I have to laugh. I just listened to the previous clip and I said, yeah, having that toke and listening to Neil Young was like 30, 40 years ago. And he goes, no, you're talking 50 years ago. 50 and more down in the basement smoking hash with candles, lights off, and just candles going. Anyway, I am now back to the present. This would be where are we? May 23rd. May is a very significant month. There's just so many anniversaries of finding the cat and my Carincha Canada, the company I created that got me, you know, set up in the home and everything else in business here in Toronto or Scarborough. That was May 20th, 1993, I guess, maybe I incorporated. Anyway, I am at St. Andrew's Cemetery. I don't have a coffee, and I really wanted a coffee, but there was nothing around without going way out of my way. I had to go to the bank to pay off a line of credit, and had to pick up 5 medications at Shoppers, all for zero price. I guess through my wife's benefits of being a senior in Ontario. Like, these are expensive meds. I had to pay for my vitamin pills. Great. That's pretty amazing. Anyway, so I don't have the coffee that I'm craving, but I knew that beforehand. I knew, okay, you're going to sit there and you're going to do it, because this is all about consequences and repercussions. I've gone back to that theme that Doug put out there. I just heard Penelope and the big guy from Ohio doing their story, and thought, well, I should pick up this theme. This is not going to be a separate podcast, but I have thoughts on consequences, repercussions myself. First of all, I think when we say the word consequences, it's always like in a negative format. You do that, you'll get punished, you know. There's something that's almost like a Christian thing of, you know, hey, whatever you do, you're going to pay for it. And I think that's ridiculous. And I take a more broader Zen-like approach that there's a result of every single action or even inaction. And you can never see all the repercussions. You can never trace it back. You can only know, oh, I'm here. Oh, because I did that or I didn't do that. And then you've got to go from that point and go back again and again and again. And there's no linking. Like, for example, I could say, well, you know, Ken, the fact that you can't balance yourself now when you're having these difficulties walking, if only you had stayed fit, if only you had done exercise, if only you'd taken up a sport, if only you'd done what the doctor said years ago and built up your core strength and so on, maybe you wouldn't be in this situation. And the other voice says, fuck you. Yes, it might have slowed things down. I'd probably be better off, there's no doubt. But I have spinal stenosis. This is something in the DNA. This is something I was born with. I've had a lifetime of back pain from this very thing, nerves being pinched. Ow! Oh, Jesus! So this is a condition as well. So no amount of exercise, and possibly one of the reasons I wasn't doing all of that, was because of the, you know, the discomfort. But regardless, I'm here now. I should do it today. I saw my therapist yesterday, as I mentioned. I should, you know, there's a voice saying, got to do something every day. There's another part of me saying, you know, Ken, you lack self-discipline. You only do what you want to do. And one of the voices cheers me on, says, good for you. That's why you're a happy dude. That's why you're a lot happier than a lot of other fucking people out there. Because you do what you want. You say, fuck the consequences. But I'm doing that within a framework of sensibleness. The guys I hung out with at when I worked in the yards in Point St. Charles back in the 70s, early 70s, speed freaks. And they'd shoot up at lunchtime and come out feeling just great. Well, there's nothing that fucks you up more than shooting up speed, which these guys were. We were doing a hash. We had our lines. Number one, no needles. Number two, not stupid fucking drugs that are just going to fuck you up. So there's always been a bit of responsibility built into, I chime freedom, yeah, do what you want, do what feels good. But it's always within a framework of, yeah, but think it through a little bit. And if there's going to be really negative consequences, if it's really going to hurt somebody, don't fucking do it, man. So I'm blessed with that. That's from a good education, good parenting, good upbringing, you know. All those things played a role. I suppose I'm wandering a bit now, but that ties in. So I haven't done the exercises, paying the price now, that's one thing. But let's move on there. I went to Europe in 1969, and I was supposed to be traveling with my good friend Mike. And just around the time it was getting to, hey, we've got to look into tickets now, I got mine a $99 one-way ticket to Paris first class, champagne and cigarettes. Mike backed out. Now, Mike has everything he wants in life now. He's got his cottage that he inherited up north. He's got a comfortable little house in Beaconsfield, the island of Montreal. He's got a classic Mercedes that he keeps stored. He had a very special wedding at the Mount Stephen Club, very prestigious club. He married a nurse and nursing instructor, living a comfortable life. And Mike always wanted those comforts, and he always, that's who he was. So his decision not to go to Europe probably didn't hurt him at all. But it was a blessing for me because it forced me to meet other people to say, hey, I'm doing this on my own. Because I know within weeks, Mike and I would have split up. There would have been something gone wrong because we are just fundamentally different in our tastes. And I wanted to go on down that hippie trail, and Mike probably wanted to go to some of the fancier museums and art galleries, and which is fine. I did that too, but it would have been different. So the ripples, the consequences of all that. Well, I ended up meeting up with this, who I found out later was a runaway, Peter, who, by the way, I've just sent an email, maybe I mentioned that in the podcast, to his hometown, to a bookstore, trying to track him down again. Found out his brother died, the one link I had, and it's going to be very hard to find him. He's an antique dealer. Anyway, sorry, putting that aside, we traveled together. I guess, I'm not sure where we met up. We must have met up in Greece. No? Yes. Probably in Greece. And went to Crete together, because that was the place. And everybody had heard about the caves. I hadn't, but people tipped me off. That was part of the hippie trail. And ended up in January, because I had New Year's in Athens. January 1970... I'm in these caves. Now, the caves were all occupied by mostly drug dealers who'd come from the Middle East smuggling in hashish. We hung out with them. We spent a night in the caves, smoked up. We drank at the Mermaid Cafe. We enjoyed, being on the beach beneath the Matala moon. And we rented, I think it was for $3 for the week, just a cement block of a house with a couple of beds with iron springs. There was three of us. We had picked up another guy from Saskatchewan by that point, Neil. I couldn't remember his last name, so I could never find him. And we spent at least a week there, probably more. So that's January 1970. Now, we jump ahead to present day. This guy called Jason, odd spelling Jason, is a podcaster, and he had an idea to put out the 100 best records and get everybody to call in and say, oh, I want to do that one. So he and his partner, Penelope, or Stephanie, as you might know, or Heavy D, did Joni Mitchell's Blue. Now, of course, Jason was not very familiar with it. Stephanie sometimes had not nice things to say about Joni, which riled me and got me tweeting back and forth. But that led to this morning, as I thought about consequences of choices, like maybe Mike not going to Europe with me, probably is what got me to Matala. Traveling with Peter, who was the same guy I did my first LSD trip with in Morocco later on, but you know that story. We end up there. And anyway, I listen to Blue, and it brings back Carrie, I want to get out of, these places. And she's singing, perfect description of life in Matala, this little place with the caves on the island of Crete, which eventually, of course, the military came in and got rid of everybody and barred the caves so nobody could live in them anymore, and threw the hippies out, basically, because they just didn't like this. It was a military junta running Greece at that time. They did not like long-haired hippies, even though it's now become a tourist site. They want to put up a plaque. Joni Mitchell slept here, except it's... these were Roman caves Romans used, apparently, for the lepers, according to some stories, 2,000 years ago. So I'm listening to this song, and I'm getting excited. She's playing it, and Carrie is her favorite song. We're back in present day now. So I dig a little this morning, and wow, I find a fabulous article on the caves, and it's got photographs of people, of the hippies, of the exact caves, even a picture showing the little white concrete blocks, like the one we stayed in. In fact, it's in that picture. So that's pretty cool. And I have one picture, probably my favorite picture, is of me taken in a little, tiny little square photo from that beach in 1970, looking pretty damn happy. And it's a favorite picture of me. Maybe I'll put it up with this podcast. I've posted it before, from January 1970. So I dig further, and I think, well, I want to find out more. Like, when was Joni there? Like, I'm thinking she must have come before me and written that song. Well, the song didn't come out till the album Blue in 1971. I check today, and I find out. So I do Matla, Joni Mitchell, and I come up with her diary from that time that somebody's got and published. It's online. And sure enough, she's there February. I think it's February 17th. Yeah, that's my mother's birthday. 1970. Weeks, just a few short weeks. Short weeks? Can they be short weeks? A short time after I left. And I go, that's pretty cool. I really wanted to pin that down. And so it's excited me. I'm thrilled about that story. And it's the kind of story that makes me happy in spite of, you know, the age I'm at now and body getting fucked up and everything else. I'm feeling blessed. I'm feeling so grateful. I'm feeling so glad I did the things I did when I was young. And that trip to Europe as a 20-year-old is just the thrill, the excitement. Well, how did this come about? How do I have this little shot of energy now? Well, it came because Big Jason decided to do had a podcast idea, and somehow we all connected through the internet, and it's all completely interwoven. And it's neat how this new world I live in with the new friends in this podcasting world has this connection. I mean, it's a tenuous one. It's only through me, through this thread. But going back into the past of my own life, that just sort of got brought back to life today. So I don't know. I wouldn't call that a consequence. But it's a result of all these ripples. Me telling you this story now is a result of everything I've just repeated to you here. And anything else in there, was it inevitable I was going to be at that thing? It seemed that was part of the hippie trail, and that's what I was following. That's what got me to Morocco. Was it, you know, it wasn't like you bought a ticket and you went to these places and you had to get out of there. We found out about a Turkish freighter leaving Piraeus and heading for Barcelona. Hey, what a cool way to get to Barcelona. Get on a Turkish freighter for $30, which we did. All these possible choices. The Europe story could have been so different. Had Mike decided to come, had I not met up with Peter, I would have taken a different route. You know, I guess it just doesn't matter, but something seemed inevitable looking back. Of course, everything followed in place. There's nothing really random. We might think there is, but there's a reason for every choice. I mean, and sometimes it's just you're hungry, and that affects the choice you make to go here or go there. My choice not to have a coffee. Did that? Well, I don't think that had much impact today. No. I still want one. All right, I'm going to leave it there because I guess there are no firm conclusions to draw from this. I just, this idea about life, as if people think that one thing that happens to you has this big impact on your life. It's everything. There's no point where you can take out a piece or put in another one without everything completely being changed. It's all intertwined. It's all a perfect tapestry that is woven together without anything random, but without anything being predictable either. Yeah, I know. I'm probably losing some of you now, but and not because you don't understand, but because you're calling bullshit. But no, that's not bullshit. No. This is the way it is. I'm here now in McCowan, or whatever, this particular park, talking to you because I have to, and I guess because I'm trying to get my mind away from the things, other things I have to do today, which is find homestay families, which is why I'm going to that meeting tonight. Which is why I podcast from that school yesterday, because I had picked the wrong night, which is, so the fact that I took time out to do this is it going to make me feel better? And if I'm feeling better and I'm feeling more positive because of that Joni Mitchell memory, the memory of Matala, will that put me in a better frame of mind, which puts me more open, more approachable, with a bigger smile, which might be the trick I need to find that next host family? Does this play a part? That's a question I'll have to leave. I know at the end, jumping into the future, I'm just going to go just a tad further. When the girls arrive July 23rd, I have to have a home for every single girl. Between now, that's exactly 2 months, May to June, June to July. I have exactly 2 months to find a family, a place for every single girl. There is no but or if or maybe or can't do it. It has to happen. How do I get there from here? How is that going to place? What are the circumstances? What are the coincidences? What are the threads? What are the tangents? What are the if I had or if I hadn't involved in that process to find those other five families or so that I need? And that keeps me awake at night, because you just can't control that shit. Scarborough Dude signing out, and thank you. Thank everybody involved, and thank you, Jason. Thank you, Penelope. Thank you, Doug, for this idea. For all you people playing along at home, cheers. Scarborough Dude signing out from McGowan Cemetery. I got work to do. Bye for now. Sunday morning, I'm in our church parking lot. That's West Hill United here in Scarborough, just off Kingston Road. I'm early. It's 9:45. Service doesn't start till 10:30, but I promise to be here by 10 to welcome our guest speaker, who I had arranged, David Newland. I put up a post about him on my Facebook page. Somebody I met again, I think it was through podcasting many, many years ago. And I had talked about him recently. I'd reconnected through a presentation he did. Thought he would be a great speaker for the church. So here we are. And I got stuff to say. Don't I always? And it amazes me that a lot of people struggle and think, well, I don't. But I think I'm at a stage in my life where everything seems significant. And it's not that I think this is all important and I have to tell you because you have to know. I think it's more telling me that it's important. For example, I took my wife in to have her car serviced and was relieved that the air conditioning problem she had was actually a Mazda recall. I would have let it go. I would have said, oh, it's good enough, you know. My wife, no, that air conditioning is not working. And so they fixed it. There was a recall. I never got the message. There was a condenser they replaced or something. And so that was good. But anyway, it was going to be a three-hour job or wait anyway, more than that. So they offered me a shuttle home. I knew right away the driver had a Philippine accent. And I asked him, he's from the Philippines. And we just got into a really good conversation. And, you know, going back to, I'd mentioned there's in Nigeria and talked about, you know, because he was talking about his childhood. They had no water and no running water, no electricity. They'd swim in the river. And it was wonderful, you know, and he was just a pleasant man. Had come here, his wife had sponsored him, came over and has got grandchildren and a good Canadian citizen and part of this Filipino community we have here, which is quite big in Toronto. But it just seemed important, and part of it was important that I bothered to approach him, speak to him. He's not just the driver of this shuttle service for the car dealership. He was a person with a story. And I knew I was going to share that with you, and here I am sharing it with you. But also another voicing, but it's not really important. But it felt good, and so I've been analyzing it. In fact, I was at a concert Friday night where John Meadows was singing in his choir, the Exaltate. Exaltate? Is that it? Choir, chamber choir, quite beautiful at St. Thomas Anglican Church, downtown Toronto. I'd won tickets from John, or they were a birthday gift. But anyway, my wife and I went. And sometimes I find it hard to stay focused on what's happening. That's why I love smoking dope sometimes, because you're listening to music, you get lost in that music. You're not going anywhere else. You're going where that song's taking you, or those sounds are taking you. But here my mind drifted, and it drifted to, why is that? Why would I bother telling anybody about that short drive with the driver that was so pleasant? An exchange, because it represented the nice can, the good person, the person who wants to live in a world where people are kind and understanding and open to each other. But during that concert, here's my mind wandering. Here I am telling you about the concert. Shouldn't that be more significant? Yeah, hey, John was singing. What was really funny was Nelk and I sat right up front. And the director, the choir director, was quite a character. He was quite perfect, almost cartoonish in the bows and the thank yous and so on. But he was in direct line of vision to John. So I could not see John the entire time. And I thought maybe that was better for John, that he didn't see my silly grinning face looking at him the whole time. Anyway, why is any of this important? It's important to me because it's just part of living and being alive and being aware that it's finite, and that these days, these events, these encounters all count because they are what we have. Just before I left to come to church this morning, my wife asked how I was, and I said, my whole body aches. And then for some reason, I told her, because it had been on my mind, and so I spill what's on my mind. I think I'm going to die before my brother and sister. Well, my brother and sister are 5 and 7 years older than me. But I felt that. I'll die before them. And they'll be sad, and it'll be easier for me. But it'll be without regrets, and they'll be able to look back. And, well, Ken had a really good life. Like, he really did what he wanted to. He was his own person. And so here I go again on this death theme. And then my wife said, let's sit down, let's talk. So we talked about cremation. And I think we came up with the conclusion that maybe it's best for her ashes to be dumped, spread in the Pacific Ocean, which is a nice link between Canada and Japan. We share that bond. And I think, yeah, that's nice, because I met her in Japan. We left by boat from Japan. We started our new life in Canada by flying to the Pacific, to Vancouver, and then driving across to Ottawa. So maybe that'd be all right. I wasn't sure about mine, but all I'm doing is saying I'm going to prepare my funeral services so you don't have to bother with that. So we agreed on cremation for both of us, and she just said cheaper is better. I said, I'd plan a service of some kind just to save her the trouble, because some people might want to gather, And there's a place in Scarborough, and that I told her that, 20 years ago, I said, I just don't want to end up in Scarborough. And I talked about that on this podcast. Well, that wasn't 20 years ago, was it? I've only been doing this for 11, 13. I did talk about that no, this is not, can't be my final resting place. And yet now it is. I belong in Scarborough. I'm the Scarborough dude. My children grew up here. This is my home. So I'm okay with that as far as the ashes go. And anyway, we'll further explanation on that another time. Just that we had these conversations, which is important. And it's just that everything is important. Everything. And if maybe you're at a stage of your life, I don't know who I'm talking to now, when it's routine and you got a job and you go in and you're doing what you have to do, and it's not slavery, but it's just you're not free, you're not your own person, you're still working, living for somebody else. And you eventually want to get to the point where you're living for yourself, and I think I am doing that, and I'm grateful I'm doing that, and time for me to get into church and get my West Hill United hat on and greet people at the door and do that stuff. But all of which is to say, this isn't me being depressed, talking about death and so on. It's just, I don't want to deal with a whole lot of shit and being, you know, a life of, it's not the pain I mind, it's just the misery I'd cause others. And I don't want to be a burden to anyone. We'll see. I have no idea. I guess in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, this ache and pain and this walking getting worse, it really is leading to something much worse. And again, this is not self-pity. This is just, all right, well, come to terms with all that shit. I guess maybe the other part of that story is, here it is, I'm not doing any of the daily exercise. The day goes, it's full, it's busy, there's not a moment of not doing anything, but you see, I count lying down with my cat as doing something. Very important, too, for the body, for the mind, for the soul, for the comfort of the cat. So, somehow, these exercises that I should be doing to strengthen myself just don't get in, fit in any given day. It's crazy. All right, that's enough. 9 minutes. I gotta go in. Talk to you later. Bye for now. I think you're probably going to find that fan noise a little annoying. Shouldn't be making it quite so much. Don't quite know how to get that fixed. So that means I'm in the road trek. I'm going to put this down while I grab my beer. Hang on, eh? And the first thing we need is, what are we going to drink it out of? I got quite an array of cups here. I think we'll do the Bobbinay. Oh, it's a little scungy. Wasn't washed from the last time. Ah, but that doesn't matter, does it? Bobbinay J. In honor of Michael, the virtual youper, who doctor is telling him, hey man, slow down. I say the same. Pushes himself pretty hard. I mean, sometimes you can't help it. You got shit to do. Selling his mother's house, and then there just always seems to be an awful lot to do for his town. But anyway, here's to you, Michael, for making sure I got the Bob and AJ mug at the event for Bob in Kingston. Cheers. It's nice. It's a High Park Brewery, which, of course, Toronto. And this one is Against the Grain, a golden lager. And it's just what I need right now. I mowed the lawn today. And I've been telling you I bought the mower for an Elko, but I hadn't tested it out yet with the new battery. And there was a little bit in the backyard to finish off, and I thought, oh, I'll do that. Then I got to the front, and I said, well, I'll just do the city side, but not the whole thing, because it's quite an angle. Our lawn is just, it's a crazy lawn. We're up on a hill, which is nice. But there are lots of places where you got to have good footing if you're going to push this thing up a hill, and you know very well that I don't have good footing. But I persevered. I thought, no, it would really be nice, you know, three times during towards the end. Okay, I'll just leave that little bit for later. And my new mantra is, no, get things done. And I really have been following through on that. So my wife came home very tired. We did a little drive up as far as McCowan Road would go, almost, well, half an hour from Lake Simcoe. And then just turned around and came back. She was looking for a particular plant that grows in certain woods, and people know where these things are. It's like the psilocybin mushrooms. People, and this is popular with Japanese people, and they will know, but they don't want to tell other people. So some people will take you there. It's almost like they're going to take you there blindfolded, but you're not allowed to tell anybody else because they'll run out or people will complain or something. So we went off on a little bit of a search, but she couldn't find what she was looking for. Anyway, it was a nice drive after church. It's been a beautiful day. And then she went up for a nap, and I said, I'm just going to try out that lawnmower. And I really like it, the new one. I'm really glad I spent the money or spent the Canadian Tire gift cards and followed through. And I'm still thinking back. We're talking about, you know, this theme of consequences. My God, the damage that rotating blade could have done. And but maybe, I don't know, would there be a lesson learned? I don't think so. I think it might have been one of those moments. I know when my brother and I were in Lachine, where we lived, and my father was still living there, and he had his big Oldsmobile at that point, and he was jacking it up, and I think we could see that he really didn't have the jack in the right spot. And it was one of those, whoa, hang on there. I think we better be careful here. And it's a kind of mistake he would never have made. And I think me, mine was a lot stupider, but it was one of those turning points of me, you know, to my son anyway. Like he really did grab the blade, so you're not getting this back. I laugh at my stupidity. And I can laugh because I do have guardian angels. I carefully explain that to my son. Hey, don't worry. I'm always looked after. But, yeah. Anyway, the performance, presentation that David Newland gave today at our church was right out of the ballpark. It was just incredible. He did not misplace a word. Like, he's done this many times. I mean, he's a professional. But it was just an amazingly well thought out presentation about, you know, what do we mean? Like anybody listening will know that the Raptors are going to the finals for the first time ever. And one of the slogans is "We the North." And he's saying, what is this? The North. We're closer to the equator than the North Pole. And how can we identify as the North? Yeah, we're north of some of the states that we're playing, but this is not northern in the true sense of the word. And then he went on to explain a little bit about the Eurocentric version of Canadian history and sort of ignoring calling this an empty land, the whole Arctic, and sort of neglecting the fact that for thousands upon thousands of years the Inuit people have survived. He played a couple of songs beautifully. I bought the CD afterwards, and one of them is quite wonderful. I have some, I think it was muskox stew, and that you just have to be polite. If you're visiting, you're going to eat some of the meat that's kept these people. And I think I liked it because it sort of went up against this movement within our church to certainly spread the word about vegetarianism or even being a vegan. Vegan, sorry. Yeah, vegans, I guess, come from outer space. I don't know. Anyway, it just, you know, hey, this is the food that these people have lived. And there was a picture of, you know, Haynes in this pile of gory blood from a seal or something. And the message being very clear, our little movement to prevent the sale of seals without consulting with them damaged a way of life for many of these people. And again, it was this Eurocentric view of, we know what's right, and we'll tell you, but we won't ask you. Anyway, I was so happy, I mean almost tearfully happy, that I had arranged for him to come, and people thanked me in a big way, and that always makes you feel good. And the same will be when the other fellow comes with Voyager, the guitar, and both those connections, interestingly enough, and this is again this idea of the ripples that go out, come via PAB, Podcasters Across Borders. So here I am drinking out of the Bob and AJ mug in honor of Bob and others who arranged PAB. And I first met David Newland at PAB 2006. He was introducing me to his wife, who came with her two young children. And listed off all the names sort of we have in common that he knew through Pab, Angela, and the list went on. Todd Maffin and people at CBC, because David has performed for CBC at CBC. So it was quite, really quite wonderful. Yeah, so I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm wrapping up here. This theme of the, I guess what I really am fascinated by is the interconnectedness. And it is a theme we do pick up on the church, at church, we talk about. But how everything is interwoven. And the talk you gave today, the ripples, the people who were touched by it, who will think about it, who might want to read another book or think a little harder, have a different understanding of the North as a result of today, as a result of, you know, stemming back to PAB 2006. That it really is quite amazing. So I know I had a whole lot more things to say. I was talking about earlier how everything seems important, and I know it's not, but it is an acknowledgement that in real day-to-day life, as the moments speed by, every action, every interaction is important. It isn't important to record them and capture them all, but to experiencing them as they happen and to be a participant, an active participant, and to join in and to make encounters and to make connections and to interact with people is so, so damn important. So I guess I better wind it down here. I don't know how much time I've used up on this podcast. I shouldn't be so concerned. I mean, I always have been sticking to my 1 hour, and our good friend Jason, Normal Jason, assures me time doesn't matter. So I'll sign out now, and if I think of something else that I missed that suddenly, oh yeah, I wanted to tell him about that, I'll be back to you. I am still thinking, and again, this is the repercussions of other Jason doing the 100 best albums, and Stephanie coming up with Joni Mitchell's Blue, and I am still, my head is still back in Matala. Suddenly today I remembered, oh yes, there's another person who lived in a sort of a, one of these adobe huts or houses next to us, and he made a giant water pipe out of a big water container. And I remember us smoking up and coming, leaving his house and getting lost. There was no place to get lost there. It was impossible. But we got very confused and very, very lost and fascinated by the chickens picking up somebody else's puke. And then the rituals. And again, remember, this is weeks before Joni came, of somebody called Renee who would make a chillum out of a broken bottle and cries for help. Renee is making it, you know, the news goes, Renee is making a chillum. This was an event in the community at Matala, the hippie community. And you have to do your part and help out because Renee, you know, that thing won't smoke itself. And it was insane to have to join in this circle. And that was the night that we were possessed, the night we spent in the cave, that the Americans had dug out and apparently thrown some bones into the sea, which was just a bloody awful thing to do, but there was a skull in there, because this was a burial crypt. And we spent the night chanting, and none of us knew who was responsible for the chanting or where it came from or how it started, but we were just all drawn into it, sitting there, you know, by candlelight and making these noises that just went on and on. And it was a powerful experience that whole time in Matala. And again, those memories triggered from somebody else talking about this album and my favorite song on Blue, Carrie. And there you go. So anyway, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. today's drive with my wife was nice. It's as if Mossport from the previous podcast, which I encourage you to listen to if you haven't, if you looked and said, oh, it's an hour and 32 minutes, that's too long, I'll skip that one. No, that was probably a more important one. But anyway, things are good. Things are good, things are good. Scarborough Dude, signing out until probably next week.